There have been churches where men have preached the truth and it wasn't liked, and the preacher was forced to leave the church merely because he preached the truth of God, and those who were unregenerate, unrighteous, who formed the church did not want to hear about sin, righteousness, and the wrath which is to come. Some can look at the difficult task in front of them. They can think, well, if we look at righteousness, if we look at godliness, the church and the people are too far gone to make any real change. The spiritual condition of the church to some is not worth fighting for, and they let error take root, and they forget their need of the Spirit of God and His power in changing hearts.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Hello and welcome to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you join us as we desire to bring God's Word and God's truth to your soul. If you have been enjoying these programs, or you have any questions, or simply want to let us know that you're listening, then drop us an email, pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, dot Cloverdale, F-P-C, at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if we can be of any assistance, we would be more than happy to help. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the third part of the sermon entitled Vital Directions for Life. Then we have the singing of the deep, deep love of Jesus and our Spurgeon devotional to finish our program today. May the Lord bless his word to your heart.
O believer, we're not to look around at the godliness of others. Look at this man, look at this woman, look at this person and the sins they commit. I'm godly. They say they're godly, but I'm godly because I don't do that. But you do other things. Our standard for godliness is not other people. Our standard for godliness is the Word of God. Real growth in godliness is not trading in one sin for another. It's not replacing the don'ts with the do's. It's not changing out sin, but it is rather living for Christ, reading His Word, praying, desiring His Spirit to work within us. The true man of God, the true believer, is to be one who forsakes sin and lives a godly life. This morning, if you were to sum up your life, what would it be? A life that speaks of godliness, a life that testifies of Christ. What is your reputation amongst the saints of God? Is it one for godliness, true godliness? Do your friends, do your relatives, do your family here within the Church of Christ look at you and rejoice that there is a godly person, a godly man, a godly woman in their midst, one that they can talk to about the things of God, one who'll pray for them, one who'll come alongside and support them, one who seeks to exalt Christ above all things? Is that your reputation? Oh, that it would be your reputation. A reputation for being truly a servant of the Savior. And that godliness influences others, does it not? You may look around you and think, there's not much godliness here. But strive for your own godliness so that that godliness by the Spirit would influence others around you. Faith. Thirdly, faith. We see that verse 11, righteousness, godliness, faith. Faith is that confidence, that trust that we have in Christ and in His salvation. The ministers of the gospel and the people of God are to be filled with faith and trust. We can think of the Apostle Paul, and he had this great confidence. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew what he believed in. He knew the power of salvation. He had experienced it himself. And the Apostle says here to Timothy, follow after faith, trust and confidence in God. And that is built upon who God is. He is a God upon whom we can truly have faith and trust, because He is the creator of this world, because He is omnipotent, because of who He is. And we're reminded in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Our faith can be increased. And dear believer, today, maybe your faith is struggling. Maybe that trust, that confidence you have in God is being hit with the waves and the wind and the storms of this world. And you're struggling. Seek Him that He would increase your faith, that you would follow after that faith, and not the things of this world, but your trust would be in the God of heaven. We need to be men and women of faith. We look at this world and its discouragements to Christianity and to the gospel. Let us have faith. Let us have faith. Let us look to the Lord, that He will move, that He will save. Let us believe that He is able to do those things. Maybe you've been praying for loved ones, praying for family members. Don't let your confidence shake. Have faith. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. We're to follow after faith. We're to follow after love. Fourthly, love is often connected with faith, and the believer is marked with love toward God. We can think of the church in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. They did great things. They served the Lord. There's no question about their service of Christ. But the Savior had somewhat against them because they left their first love, their love for the Lord Jesus Christ was not the love that it should have been. And as they served the Lord somehow, out of usual practice or routine, but spiritually they lost out with love. And how important it is that we would continually follow after love, that the love of God for us would have an impact upon us. Our gospel is a gospel of love. Our gospel shows forth the love of God to this world in sending forth Christ. We can think of the love of God to sinners such as we, and we're to follow after that love. Love is to mark the people of God. The man of God is not to be marked with the love of money, but in contrast to that, marked with the love of Christ. So, dear congregation, this morning, are you marked with the love of money, or are you marked as you should be as a child of God with love for Christ? Oh, that the love of God would flow within your heart. Oh, that as you come and worship Him, the love of Christ within you would be seen as you praise Him and worship Him and hear His word, as you talk to others and encourage them or witness to them, that the love you have for Christ would be seen in all that you do and all that you say. Love is so vital. The Apostle Paul said he could be so many great things, but without charity or love, there's nothing. He is nothing. Oh, that the love of God would be found within our hearts. Patience. Patience. When we think of the word patience here, well, thou, O man of God, follow after patience. And we think of patience as sitting at a red light, and everybody else seems to get to go, but not us. And suddenly our patience is tried. That's not necessarily what's in view here, because the original Greek refers to steadfastness, constancy, endurance, perseverance. Translated patience here, but referring to all these other things as well. The child of God, the man of God, is to be steadfast. He's to be constant. He's to endure. The man of God, the believer, is not to come to church today and rejoice in Christ, and next week he's not here, and we wonder, where have they gone? And next week we see them, and we say, where were you last week? Were you sick? Oh no, I lost my faith for a week or two. But it's okay, I'm back. And next week the same happens again. They come to the morning service, not the evening service. Why? They lost their faith. They turned aside from Christ sometime in the afternoon. We think that's ridiculous. And that reminds us of the constancy that we are to have as the people of God. The man of God is to be constant. The child of God is to be constant. We're not to be up and down on the roller coaster of faith. Yes, there are times our faith may be stronger than at other times. There may be times we struggle, but we are to be steadfast. And we are to be constant, and we are to endure. And we're reminded of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, Paul says, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's not speaking to a pastor, he's speaking to the church. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep on going, he says, keep on serving. For that labor is not a waste of time. Keep being steadfast. Why? Well, if we were to read 1 Corinthians 15, we see that. And I believe we may have preached that here as well at some stage in the past. Verse 57 sums it up, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's death and resurrection, our resurrection, us putting on immortality and incorruption because of Christ, us having victory over death and the sting of death because of Christ. This great victory of Christ, what does it do to us? Well, we're to be steadfast because of it. Our steadfastness is built upon Christ's victory over sin. And as Paul says to Timothy, follow after, patience, be steadfast. You're being steadfast because of the great things that Christ has done for you. Dear believer, do we consider that? The great things, that great victory we have through Christ. When we struggle with spiritual things, when we wake up on a Sunday morning and Maybe we're just feeling a little tired, like we never slept all night. Knowing if we pushed ourselves, church would not be a problem. But it's just a little slow to get started. Like an old car trying to get started on a very cold winter's day. We just need a few more minutes and a few more minutes, and eventually we wake up and it's too late. Or maybe there's other things that are taking the place of the time we come together as the Lord's people. Consider Christ. Consider his victory. Consider what he has done. When you have opportunities to witness for Christ and to tell others of his so great salvation. But you're thinking, I maybe shouldn't do this. Think of his great victory. What Christ has done for you, and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The man of God, the child of God, is to stick at it through difficult times. The forces of Satan are against God's people. We know the temptations that we can face every day. Verse 12, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight, but we are to be steadfast. Jonathan Edwards said, it is the duty of God's people to be steadfast and vigorous in their opposition to the designs and ways of such as are endeavoring to overthrow the kingdom of Christ. We're to be steadfast. And he says, those that stand for these things, well, we may well judge here is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. May we be good soldiers that stand steadfastly, steadfastly. If the soldiers that we remember when it comes to Remembrance Day, whether that's Canada, whether that's in the United Kingdom, whether that's south of the border, when they remember those who've served in the armed forces and gave their lives, if those individuals were not steadfast in their duty, where would we be today? If I look back, I'm from the United Kingdom, and if the soldiers in a past day were not steadfast, well, my life would be very, very different. The United Kingdom would have been changed if the course of the Second World War, to name an isolated incident, there's many over the years we can think of, be very different if that war had turned out differently. And probably many of us, if not all of us, would have similar changes in our lives. And we look back at those men, how they were steadfast. And they kept going through difficult times. And there is that great spiritual lesson for us that in difficult times, don't give up. Keep that patience, keep the faith, keep that confidence and steadfastness in the Savior. Why? Because it's all built upon his victory. And then finally, meekness. Meekness. The man of God is to follow after meekness. Gentleness. What a fruit of the Spirit this is when we think of it. The Savior was meek and kind and gentle. The children came to the Savior and the disciples didn't like it and they went to chase them away. And what did the Savior say? Get them away from me? No. He rebuked the disciples. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Children that maybe had no idea who the Savior was. Children who had no idea why the Savior was sent. Very little understanding. But yet they were welcomed in. The Savior was meek and gentle and kind and loving. There's a connection to humility here as well. The man of God is not to be filled with pride. He is meek and humble before the Lord. And why is that? He is nothing without Christ. He is nothing without Christ. Dear believer, you and I are nothing without the Savior. Let us follow after him. Let us be meek and gentle, loving and kind. These are good and vital directions for life, to flee from sin, to follow after Christ. And in all of these things, the Savior is our great example. In righteousness, in godliness, in faith, love, patience, meekness, he is our great example. May we do so. May we flee sin and desire to be good living epistles for our Saviour. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon takes us to Job chapter 10 verse 2. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Perhaps, O tried soul, the Lord is doing this to develop thy graces. There are some of thy graces which would never be discovered if it were not for thy trial. Dost thou not know that thy faith never looks so grand in summer weather as it does in winter? Love is too often like a glowworm, showing but little light except it be in the midst of surrounding darkness. Hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, and only to be discovered in the night of adversity. Afflictions are often the black foils in which God doth set the jewels of his children's graces, to make them shine the better. It was but a little while ago that on thy knees thou wast saying, Lord, I fear, I have no faith. Let me know that I have faith. Was not this really, though perhaps unconsciously, praying for trials? For how canst thou know that thou hast faith until thy faith is exercised? Depend upon it, God often sends us trials that our graces may be discovered, and that we may be certified of their existence. Besides, it is not merely discovery. Real growth in grace is the result of sanctified trials. God often takes away our comforts and our privileges in order to make us better Christians. He trains his soldiers, not in tents of ease and luxury, but by turning them out and using them to forced marches and hard service. He makes them ford through streams and swim through rivers and climb mountains and walk many a long mile with heavy knapsacks of sorrow on their backs. Well, Christian, may not this account for the troubles through which thou art passing? Is not the Lord bringing out your graces and making them grow? Is not this the reason why he is contending with you? Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to his feet. Lay me low and keep me there. We trust that that devotional and our program today has been a blessing to your soul. Thank you for joining with us. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. And join us again tomorrow as we come and consider the Word of God. And may the Lord richly bless you. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.